of his love and adoration, of coming before God, that not everyone finds that easy or thinks that that place includes them. And that we can think, that's all very well for you. You guys probably, you know, you understand about prayer and the language of prayer and adoration. What even is that? Why would I? Why should I adore? And so I just want to read these two stories and just invite you to think with me about two people who had a similar struggle in some respects. So firstly, it's Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. They're two short passages, both from Luke's gospel. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Amen. And then from Luke chapter 15, the end of the story of the prodigal son, which tells the story of a boy who asked for his share of the inheritance, wasted it in a far-off land, and then, desperate and starving, resolved to come home to his father, expecting that the best he might hope for would be that he could be made one of his father's servants, one of the lowliest in his father's household. No longer a son, but a servant. And so he rehearsed his little speech, "I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your servants," all the way home. And when he drew near, his father saw him while he was still a long way off. And breaking all the tradition of the day, he was the head of the household. He hitched up his robe and he ran out to meet his son and he embraced him. And not only did he embrace him, as his son was trying to get his little rehearsed speech out about being a slave now, the father called for the servants and said, "Go and prepare a feast and bring robes and garments and a ring and sandals for his feet. Kill the fattened calf. Let's have a party to celebrate." And so the context of this little reading that we're going to look at now is that in the background in the house, there's a party getting underway, a celebration for this wayward son who'd squandered everything and amounted to nothing and who'd come home. Meanwhile, the elder son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The elder brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him?" "My son," the father said, "you're always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Amen. Two figures, one male, one female. Two hard-working individuals. A woman preparing a meal for a house full of guests that perhaps she wasn't prepared for. A woman who understood her role and her purpose to be the one to do the work, because that's what women in that culture did, and that was the expectation. A woman who understood that that was where she belonged, doing the work, to the point of exasperation because she understood that her sister should also be doing the work alongside her. And so Martha, this woman, is outside of the place where Jesus was. She's somewhere in the kitchen. She's certainly separate from where Jesus is gathering people around him and teaching them. And they're just soaking up what he has to say to them in his presence. Meanwhile, we have this parable. And the father figure in the parable is intended to represent God. And so we have this other image of somebody else, a man this time, who is outside of the place where God's presence is. Outside in the fields, working away. A good boy, a hard-working boy, a boy who had spent many years trying to please and impress his father with his hard work, to the point where he actually felt a little bit of grudge. Because he'd come to understand that that was who he was and what he did. I work for my father. That's the relationship. And so Martha was working for Jesus. And the older brother was working for his father. And both of them were outside of the place and the presence. You know, sometimes we feel that our job, our place is outside. You know, the inside where God is meeting with his people and doing his thing and taking his kids on his lap and all the rest of it, that's something that happens for other people, right? That's what happens for other people. But in both cases, each of them has reached an assumption about who they are and what their place is. Martha has decided that her place is outside preparing food, and she wants help. And the older brother has decided that in relation to his father, where he belongs is outside the house and certainly outside the party for that stinking, miserable, rotten little git of a son of a brother of mine. And who I am and what I do is I work. You see, that's how I understand my relationship with my father. I'm not one of the inside people. I'm an outsider. I'm doing stuff on the outside. You see, there are a lot of people who live their lives as slaves and servants on the outside. And what's beautiful to me in these stories is that the appeal of Jesus to Martha is not to haul her sister Mary to the outside kitchen where the work was being done, but by implication to invite Martha to come inside and to understand that she too was welcome in the place of being. That she too was loved and valued and appreciated, but Mary's place at the feet of Jesus was the place that he wanted her to be in. He wanted her to be in the place where she was just welcome because she was Martha and she was loved. Not because she put on a mean buffet. She was Martha and she was loved. And she was invited to come and sit at the feet of Jesus and just be. And the older brother, out in the fields, the father goes out from the house, out from the party, out in search of his other boy. And his other boy is full of resentment, full of self-righteousness, full of how hard he's worked. And it seems from the conversation that they have that this older brother really, really struggles to be a son. Because in his head he's a worker. In his head he's earning his ticket. But the father doesn't want him in the fields. The father doesn't want him busting his gut. The father wants him to come in. The father wants him to come in and just be part of the family. To come into the party and eat his share of the fattened calf. To come in and accept that it's not what you do or who you are or how important you are. It's simply that the father has set his sights on his kids. And all this stuff about adoration is only possible when you dare to believe that the Father just loves you for who you are. Not what you do, achieve, what rank or status you've got. Irrelevant. Not what money you've got, not what skills you bring. Unimportant. The Father invites you to be loved. To lay down your work and your trying, and to bring all the rubbish, just as the younger son brought all the rubbish and the stench of the pigsty and his regrets and his shame and his determination that he had to be a slave, because that's the only way there'd be a way in for him. To discover that there was a party for him. Dare to believe that the words that I read from the psalm at the beginning of the service are also true for you. Dare to believe, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Dare to believe that as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. And that's not the kind of terrified fear. That's just honor, respect, believing in. We can adore God in prayer. We're called to come into his presence adoring him. But why do we adore him? Because he orders us to? No. Because he takes you as you are. He says you don't need to try. He points you to the cross with its wide open arms and says it's on that basis that you may come. If you will dare to believe that it means you too. Let's pray together. Father, forgive us. Forgive us for the thinking that we'd seek to imprison us. Imprison us in places that say we're not good enough, or we've not worked hard enough, or we're not special or remarkable or noticeable. The lies that we'd seek to bind us into places of shame, and hopelessness and brokenness. The lies that we'd seek to keep us back from simply receiving the love of our Father and the open-armed sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And Lord, would you, by your Spirit and your grace, penetrate anew our heads and hearts, that we may discover anew that who we are is dearly loved children because of our faith, our clinging to your love for us and what you've done for us, that our past might be cleansed and forgiven, and that we might come into a new place. Give us the courage, Lord, the courage to believe that maybe, just maybe, we're already known and loved. And that we, entering into that place, might adore you and pray, knowing that we have a Father who loves it when his children approach and ask of him. Lord, there's much that we long to see you do in our lives, in the lives of people we care about, in our city, in our nation, and in the world. But it begins where we believe and know that we are safe and secure in the love of God. And that from that place of being in your lap, as it were, that we may begin to talk to you about what we see that grieves us and ask that you might work to change it. So Holy Spirit, would you come? And would you give to each of us a new, a fresh, a deeper understanding of what it means to be accepted and acceptable before the living God. And to take the risk of laying down all the other stuff by which we justify our existence in order just to be. So we welcome you, Holy Spirit. Penetrate our hearts and minds. Help us to believe and to rest and to cease from our striving and to know that your love is enough. Through Jesus we pray.